morning. I want to welcome everyone to First Presbyterian Church. We are especially happy to welcome to our pulpit today Reverend Stephen Willis from Bedford, Virginia. He's going to be our interim pastor while the pastor nominating committee continues its work to find our permanent pastor. Mr. Willis has served almost 25 years in ordained ministry of Presbyterian Church. He has worked in churches as a solo pastor in South Carolina, Cincinnati, Washington State, and Virginia. He's currently working as an intentional interim pastor, most recently in Dublin, Virginia, Lexington, and Lynchburg. He also writes for different capacities for PCUSA, Internet Magazine, and has published a book with Auburn Institute. He's done leadership development for congregations in Presbyterian, Episcopal, and the United Church of Christ denominations. He's married to Amy Merrill Willis, who is also an ordained Presbyterian minister and a professor at Lynchburg College. Together, they have two children, Nate and Kate, and we're most happy to have him here with us today. I have a couple of other announcements. First of all, we are pleased to have the Sun Servants here with us. A group of 20 to 30 teenage young volunteers will be here working in Danville, and they'll be living in the church. They're bringing sleeping bags and air mattresses, but we have to help with the food. So July 15th through 19th, Jackson needs people to sign up for different times of the day, morning and night, to work with them with the food preparation. And if you will sign up in the Donaldson Roberts room, Jackson will give you a call and let you know more details about it. Only two or three volunteers are needed for each one of the time slots. A second announcement is that all committees need to submit their budgets to the Finance Committee by August the 31st. They're going to be working to get the budget ready for the coming year, and they need to know what your needs are. And now we've got a minute for missions from Jackie Rogers.
Good morning. I wanted to give you a report from the Missions Committee on the 2019 Crop Walk. Crop Walk will not be until October 6th, but there's a number of things coming up, and I wanted to make sure to let you know. First of all, this year's Crop Walk is going to be held in honor of Marie Louise Crane because of all the work she has done, both for the Crop Walk, both for this church and for the city. And they're starting a Golden Shoe Award in her name that will be given each year to a different church or organization. And they really want our church to be the recipient this coming year. There's a number of ways you can be involved. Obviously, you can give donations. You can do that up until October 6th. You can also either form a team or join the First Presbyterian team. And we already have a site on the website so that you can join that team if you'd like to and walk on October 6th. There will be packets if you want to form a team available in August. So just let me know. We'll make sure to get you a packet. Also, if you are interested in being a corporate member, that has to be done by July 18th. So if you have an organization or a business and want to give a donation of $100 or more, then you will be on our t-shirts and our promotional activities and our website. And many of you have done that in the past. There are forms that I have and Barbara Wilkins have. So either one of us, just talk to us and we can get you one of those. So look forward to working with you with the Crop Walk this year. If there's any questions that you have, talk to Barbara or myself. Thank you.
Thank you.
hearts are ready, O Lord. Our hearts are ready. We will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. We will sing praises to you among the nations. Let's join together in the first hymn of praise, number 376, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
Now let us join together in a prayer of confession. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wanting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Have mercy upon us, O God. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your light and walk in your ways for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the assurance of pardon. God the Creator brings you new life, forgives and redeems you. Take hold of this forgiveness and live your life in the Spirit of Jesus.
All right, fellas, so I'd ask this question, but I know what we did. So what did we do this week? What did we celebrate this week? The 4th of July. What's the 4th of July? It's Happy Treason Day, that's right. Yeah, we said peace out from the British. I don't know if you could hear that. So it's the day that America declared its independence, right? So, what did we do? Did we have a cookout? And then what did we go and do? We watched the fireworks. That's right. We celebrated, right? We took pride in our country. We took, we celebrated being a citizen of the United States and the privilege and the responsibilities that come along with it, right? Now, being a citizen, how do you become a citizen? More than one way, right? Well, sometimes you do. You join the country, but you have to go through a process, right? You have to take a special test or classes to become a citizen. Other people, they're born here, right? How did you become a citizen? You were born here, that's right. Now, I was born here. But other people, like I said, they take tests and they become a citizen. But either way, however you become a citizen, being a citizen means that you have rights and that can live and work in the country, and that's a wonderful thing. But did you know that you have another kind of citizenship too? Do you know that? The Bible talks about us being citizens of heaven, and that means that our lives on earth, are they temporary or are they eternal? They're just temporary, right? We're just temporary citizens here. And we belong to God's family and have a home ready in his country, in God's country. So what does that mean? Well, we don't live in heaven yet, but we have the rights of being children of the King, and we'll gain heaven as an inheritance. So you know what else? God has given us a special job to tell others about that heavenly home. Now, do we get excited about national pride? Yeah, what did we do? We had fireworks that we shot off, right? So we get excited about being a citizen here in the United States, but we should get even more excited about being a citizen in heaven. We should be so excited that we want to tell everybody, all our friends, our family, people around us, all about it. And in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent out his disciples to share the news of the kingdom with others. And he warned them that some of the people might not receive that news very well, or they might not be eager to hear that message. But he tasked them with spreading the good news to everyone. And that's still our job today. If we are thankful for our heavenly citizenship, we should demonstrate that by sharing the joy of the good news of Jesus and his love for us and the love for everybody and sharing that knowledge. So just like we celebrated on the 4th of July with big fireworks and a celebration, a cookout, we should celebrate our citizenship of heaven the same way and tell everybody about it. Something to think about, isn't it? Should we pray? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for making us part of your family. Thank you for our citizenship in heaven. Help us to understand how special that is, and please give us courage to share the good news of Jesus with all of those around us. Thank you for your love, and we love you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray together the prayer for illumination, for understanding of God's word. Gracious God, may the light of your Holy Spirit shine upon us and give us understanding of your word to us this morning. Let the seeds of your word grow within our hearts and lives so that the fruit of your spirit may flourish in your people for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today is Psalm 136, 1 through 11, and 23 through 26. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth upon the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who smote the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Our second reading comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 4. Verses 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. Amen. The word of the Lord.
It is truly a pleasure to be with you today and to come and begin serving as your interim pastor. Your session has called me to finish this interim period, as Bunny was saying, and they did this even after your transition team discovered that I'm an avid Tar Heel basketball fan. Y'all must be a gracious people. John McDonald has done a terrific job leading the session and this congregation through all the process work that happens in an interim period, and I'm here to provide some continuity for your worship, pastoral care, and session until you call your next installed pastor. I look forward to getting to know y'all and will keep you constantly in my prayers as you move toward a new season at First Presbyterian Church. The gospel reading for this morning is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The word of the Lord. Repetition is an underrated thing. We usually think of repetition as something that's simply boring, but quite often repetition is the way that human beings learn and grow. We live in this fast-paced technological world where ever-changing laptop screens and smartphone apps tease us with wishes that information is wisdom. Now, I certainly carry around my smartphone and use it and use the new technology all the time, even though I do use it a little bit awkwardly. But the few things that I've learned and found to be most meaningful in life have come in very different ways, usually through staying with something over time. And often this requires repetition. Maybe it's not just human beings who learn by repetition. Have you heard the description of the difference between a day in the life of a dog and the day in the life of a cat? Since cats and dogs, of course, keep journals, they are easy to compare. The dog's journal begins, 8 a.m., dog food, my favorite thing. 10 o'clock, a walk in the park, my favorite thing. Noon, milk bones, my favorite thing. 5 o'clock, dinner, my favorite thing. 9 p.m., watch TV with the humans, my favorite thing. 11 o'clock, sleeping on the bed, my favorite thing. Now, the cat's journal is a little bit different. The cat writes, "My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre dangling objects. Today there was an assembly of their accomplices, and I was placed in solitary confinement for the duration of the event. When released, I tried to assault one of my tormentors by weaving through his feet while he was walking down the hall. Tomorrow I will try this at the top of the stairs." My apologies to the cat lovers out there. But there's something wonderful about the way that a dog can exult in the ordinary repetition of routine. Children often have the same quality, enjoying peekaboo or a piggyback ride over and over again. We know that adults, we fall into the monotony of daily routine and into the unhappy repetition of daily tasks. Much of our experience of a routine, though, depends on what we bring to it. An attitude that encounters the wonder and the mystery of people amidst the routine makes all the difference. And faith that sees meaning amidst the tasks of the day colors regular tasks as an exercise of faith, hope, and love. The liturgical repetition of the psalm that we heard this morning sees a rhythm to the love of God breaking into our world. And we heard it repeated. "For his steadfast love endures forever. For his steadfast love endures forever. For his steadfast love endures forever. That phrase in the 136th Psalm is repeated 26 times in one psalm. 26 times. This psalmody would have been said or sung by the gathered Hebrew community of faith in the temple or synagogue. This repetition shows us something about the character of God in relationship to his people. And the key word in the phrase that we translate in English as steadfast love in the Hebrew is hesed. Hesed recurs through the Old Testament scriptures. And there's a few words like it, like shalom and koinonia, that are such rich and full words that our English doesn't quite translate all the meaning of it. But hesed is the faithful, persistent love of God that does not give up on God's people. The psalm writer links the steadfast love of God with the actions of God over the course of time. The psalm begins with creation and the work of God and bringing forth the sun and the moon and the stars. Then the psalm writer recounts the long covenant history that brought forth the people, Israel, and their experiences of liberation from tyranny and wandering through the wilderness and then cultivating a land and an identity. And through this long recitation of celebrations and difficulties, the rhythms of God's doings are sung. For the steadfast love of God endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. The manifestation of this love is seen in what God has accomplished. God is the one who loves because God is the one who acts for the sake and for the good of the people. We often think of love as a feeling or an inner condition of our heart. But the psalm writer describes the steadfast love of God as more than a sentiment. The divine love is more than God simply being kindly disposed to us. The psalm says that this love is so sure that it has done something over and over again to show itself to us. Now, sentiments and feelings of goodwill are not bad, of course. But in the steadfast love, we see something much thicker, much more persistent. The steadfast love is not a feeling that may change overnight. It is the grounding. It's the foundation, the sure and strong source of confidence and resolve for a people during all seasons of our human experience. G.K. Chesterton, the great English writer, had this to say about God's energy and love of repetition. Chesterton wrote that God's heart is like that of a child who loves things done over and over again and never tires of a good thing. He writes, "It is possible that God says every morning, do it again to the sun, and every evening, do it again to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never gotten tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy, for we have sinned and grown old, but our Father is younger than we." End of quote. The description of this steadfast love challenges our modern ways of thinking about love, because the actions of love are not always warm and comfortable. Part of the psalm is difficult to hear. The verse that says, "Who overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea and struck Egypt through their firstborn, for his steadfast love endures forever. And struck down the great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever." Yet Egypt, which was known as the iron furnace, burned up its fuel of human slaves to construct monuments to mortals. It did great harm, not only to the Hebrew peoples, but to many others. So the steadfast love of God brought forth their freedom. and led them to a time of shalom, a time of peace, well-being, and flourishing. Later in Israel's history, when they would turn to ways of cruelty and justice, the steadfast love of God would work once again in its tough and tenacious way to undo the hurtful misuse of powerful Hebrew kings. This love persists over time to bring forth the good, enduring, and life-giving ways which God intends. The shortest definition of God in the Bible is from the 1 John 4 passage we heard that says that God is love. Over and over again in the scriptures, we hear the descriptions of the mighty acts of God that displays this love for us. John also writes, "Love has no greater man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." We see this love fully enacted in the teaching, healing, praying, dying, and rising of Jesus Christ. Or as the Apostle Paul says, the proof of God's amazing love is this, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is love is more than an abstract ideal. It is tangible and real in Jesus, repeated over time, again and again in the giving ways that we see demonstrated by Jesus. So remembering that God's love is known through what God has done is instructive for us in how we live the Christian life. Think about it. If you recall the people who you have loved and who have loved you, you will no doubt recall people who have acted on your behalf. Whose faces do you see when you remember the actions of love? Faces from your childhood. Faces from adult years appear in your mind's eye. People who have reached down to us as children to pick us up and to carry us in numerous ways. Or people who have been with us and loved us through their presence over time when things were good and, of course, when they were bad. If we have experienced love, faces appear in our memories because love is specific. Love is known from hands-on experience. In our relationships with spouses, parents, siblings, friends, and neighbors, love is known through the repetition of ordinary actions that shape us and mold us. A neighbor mows the yard during a time of illness. A friend stops by to visit after the doctor's appointment. A sibling travels across the state to visit his brother. A mother changes the diaper of an infant, knowing that it's going to be changed again and soon. Talk about repetition. Of course, together as the faith community, worship itself is this often repeated action of the people of God. One worship experience will not do. Rather, it's over time, through seasons of Sunday morning worship, that we learn and relearn, grow and experience the divine faithfulness through our life's different seasons. In and through all of these actions, when done with faith, hope, and love, comes a thick and enduring experience of the love for which we were created. When we experience this repetition of love from those around us and are formed in it ourselves, then we come to see just a bit of the enduring, persistent love that God has for each one of the children of his making. Let me close with an illustration from my own family experience, and I hope that it may show the surprising value of repetition, as well as introduce myself to you just a little bit this morning. We returned home to Bedford last Friday after our family vacation at Cocoa Beach, Florida, where my wife Amy's family gathers. And this was our 27th year in a row of gathering in the sweltering July Florida sun to celebrate Independence Day and be with family. This tradition in Amy's family began 53 years ago when her parents, Chuck and Miriam, took the family for the first time. Chuck was a World War II Marine veteran and later a merchant marine who sailed back into Cape Canaveral before the holiday each year. The family has gathered there at the very same hotel for 53 years. And I think that we've been in the same room the last 15 years. It's not plush, but it's not shabby. And over the years, there have been attempted vacation coups to go to a more upscale destination. Yet Miriam, the loving, steady matriarch, kept the family gathering in the same place. We began going simply to stay connected to Amy's family in Florida. And honestly, when we were younger, it was an affordable way to do vacation. But now, after all this time, it has become downright meaningful to us and to our children. We've been through different seasons together that included Chuck's passing and Miriam's as well, 2 years ago. All the ups and downs of each of Amy's six siblings' families over the years have been shared and prayed over. The memories are thick in each of the favorite spots to which we return. And now our oldest child, our son Nate, in college, drives from his summer job, keeping the week open to cultivate the connections and the relationships that have developed over his lifetime. The repetition of this vacation pilgrimage has surprised us with a lovely depth of relationship and meaning that we had not expected when we first began. Friends, I'm appreciative to be with you during what will be, for me, a brief season as your interim pastor, but I come into your midst in the very long worshiping history of First Presbyterian Church, as the people of God here have made the journey over and over again, generation after generation, to be together and to worship the God of Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to continue to repeat the prayers for your pastor nominating committee as it seeks God's leading to call your next pastor and start a new beginning in this congregation. May God grant his people joy in his steadfast love that endures forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let us stand together as we confess the faith of the church, saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our next hymn is number 210, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. Please be seated. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, your plans are greater than our knowing. Your love and care over us are better than our limited human ability to comprehend. You have created the beauty of the world around us, and you have planted and tended the garden of your people and their lives together. So we gather today to return our love to you and to present ourselves as those seeking first your kingdom. Lead us by your Spirit. Strengthen us when we are tired. Comfort us when we hurt and feel alone. Be near to us and help us to know your presence. Inspire us to live in the servant pattern of life that we see in Jesus. We remember the names of people upon our hearts and minds, those that have been named in the prayer list. Hear these concerns, and we ask that you would add your blessing to each person as they need. Faithful God, give us humility as we seek to live the Christian life. Help us to see your presence, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us. Help us to walk in the manner of Christ when relating with people of different perspective than our own. We pray for our nation and world that are at such a time of tension and strife on this Sunday after celebrating Independence Day. We give you thanks for the freedoms that we have been blessed with. We ask your blessings and protective care over those who protect our country and serve both here and overseas, and we ask your blessings upon their families. Now, O God, lead us into this new week for the sake of Christ our Lord, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now with gladness, let us bring the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have done great things for us, and holy is your name. Bless all we offer you, ourselves, our time, and our possessions for the purposes of your heavenly kingdom, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is number 555, Now Thank We All Our God. Friends, as you go into this new week, go trusting that Christ goes before you to prepare the way for you, and he goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith, and he goes beside you to befriend you and to comfort you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.